Welcome to Ageless Vitality with Dr. Andrea Pennington. I'm your host, Dr. Andrea, providing you with insight and inspiration to live in optimal well-being for your mind, body, soul, relationships, and environment. For more practical insights on living with ageless vitality, visit me online at agelessvitality.tv. Welcome to today's show. It's so good to be with you. We have so much to dig into, and I want to start with a couple of questions. Can you look at the painful life lessons that you've endured as gifts? Can you look at death and loss as blessings that enable you to uncover your power to heal, to love, and to thrive exists within you. And today's guest shares her powerful journey to healing that came from losing her family, descending into despair, and ultimately falling into what she calls the Garden of Healing. My guest today is Dr. Debbie Engelman, affectionately known as Dr. Deb or just Debbie. She holds a doctoral degree in natural health and traditional naturopathy, and she's an herbal practitioner. Now, through her personal and professional experience, she has designed a unique method of empowering individuals to use their inherent healing ability to release negative belief patterns and achieve their highest natural level of balance and vibrancy. And that's something that we can all use more of. Debbie is the founder of Created by Nature Wellness, based in Minnesota. She is also a contributing author to the best-selling series, Heart to Heart, The Path to Wellness. It's a new book that features me alongside with Dr. John DeMartini and Bob Doyle from the hit movie, The Secret. Now, this beautiful book, which is just available now and is hot off the presses, includes inspiring stories of over 40 authors who, like my guest, Debbie, and myself, have journeyed through illness, pain, and loss, and emerged more whole, healthy, and happy. So welcome, Debbie, and congratulations on this book.
Thank you very much. It's very exciting. It's been a wonderful journey from beginning to end, which it will never end.
Exactly. It's only just taken a new plateau or riding into a new piece of territory.
Yes.
Debbie, your professional background is so rich and interesting, and I really want to talk about your methods of natural healing. But first, I'd like to kind of give our listeners a taste of what you shared in the book.
Mm-hmm.
Your chapter is called Falling in the Garden of Healing, and you've dedicated it to your two sisters, which I think is beautiful, both of whom who have passed away, and they had a strong impact on both your illness and your healing. Is it okay if I share a bit?
Absolutely.
Okay. So Debbie's chapter from the book, The Path to Wellness, starts off with this. Not all gifts are appealing when first received. My gift from the universe appeared in the form of death, not just once, but twice. My painful journey began when my only siblings, two sisters, transitioned 5 months apart. Their passing shoved me into an undulating downward spiral where time no longer seemed to have meaning. I kept falling until even the darkness itself no longer seemed to exist. All was simply a vacuum of nothingness. Eventually, I became cognizant of a soft, supportive pillow beneath me. I had landed on what seemed to be a dimly lit desert oasis, which brightened as I slowly became conscious. Wow, Debbie, I want to start there. Now, did you experience this fall as a dream? Was it some sort of emotional break or what?
It was slow in coming after the death of my second sister in July and after her funeral. I believe I pretty much went into a numbness zone, which is, you know, self-preservation at that point. And this traumatic drop probably didn't start for another 2 months after the last funeral. And when it did, it was very abrupt. and went on for about 2 years. 2 years of of dealing with that darkness and anger and rage and physically falling apart as well. So it was a long, slow drop, I guess, in the beginning.
Okay, so this is more of a metaphorical fall. Yeah, wow. So you mentioned that you were filled with anger and rage about being orphaned, and the pain of your own past was also intense. But, you know, you've said that you developed methods to heal, and you say that we can all heal from past hurt and trauma naturally. And in the book, you talk about your two sisters and how their approach to life affected them physically. And now, in fact, you describe the experience of the deaths of your sisters as a true gift, which I just find remarkable. Can you explain that to me? You know, what was it about your sister's passing that eventually allowed you to get past that pain to find your own peace and healing?
It was in reflection after the majority of the, probably a year after, I'd say, when it became very, I understood the fact that this whole, the way each one of them chose to die, and I was at the end of my doctorate at that point, actually, that they actually created their own deaths because their deaths were so very unique. They were very different. My first sister, they did not expect her to live a year, and she went almost 2 years.
And what was what was she diagnosed with?
She originally had breast cancer, and unfortunately, which can occur sometimes, the Adriamycin, the cocktail that they gave her for the breast cancer, actually started CMML leukemia, which has no cure. And so she fell into that. But because of her positivity and great outlook on life, in spite of knowing all this, she lived fully. She went to Hawaii. She never stopped living at all. And in reverse, my second sister was different in that, where it was, we all choose to hear bad news. She had esophageal cancer, very late stage when it was found, so she went very rapidly. And her method of it was a reflection of the way she lived as well, of looking at the dark side, not seeing anything positive or good, being troubled with her own personal abuse issues, etc., that she gave up immediately. And her death was very fast. It was very fast.
How old was she? She
would have been 55. My first sister would have been 57 when they passed. So she went to bed. That's how I put it. She went to bed. She just went to bed and waited for death to actually come. And when I was reflecting on my own life through my own healing, I did connect to the fact that, you know, my philosophy, the way I was looking at my own story, was very similar to my second sister, where it was easier to get into the story, be the victim, stay there, make it my life story. And it wasn't until I came through that, the healing from these events, when I was coming out on the other side, that it was like, oh gosh, Debbie, there is so much more to this. And I felt like I was, you know, mistreated by the universe, God, and everyone until that moment in time. When it was, no, this was my wake-up call. There is another way to heal. And basically, I firmly believe everyone can heal completely. Once you take a good look at yourself and what your motives are, where are you being the victim? Things happen to everyone. But we choose how we respond to those. And I'm not trying to say that people should not grieve. You need to. You have to grieve. You have to feel it. You have to live it. You have to be pushed down. And then you get back up.
Yeah. Well, let me take a step back, because you've said a couple of things that I really want to sort of bring to the light. You started by saying that when you look at your sisters, each of them in their own way caused their own illness. And, you know, certainly scientific studies in neuroimmunology reveal so much about this mind-body connection. Our beliefs, our attitudes about life can totally impact our moods, the onset of disease, and especially our ability to heal. And Debbie, you write in this book that what we feel emotionally on a conscious and subconscious level affects every cell of our body, and that we carry so much baggage in our hearts and minds that it can impact all aspects of our health. So starting with your sister who passed away from breast cancer, now you said that she was positive. So even though she was diagnosed with a second cancer from the chemo treatment, she remained positive and she lived a good 2 years longer than anyone expected. So how do you say that she might have, her subconscious or her conscious beliefs caused her illness in the first place?
Her life, as well as a lot of us, had different challenges going in, with some marriage issues, etc. She was always positive to the degree of almost burying the truth. So she, for her children, is just who she was. She was just bound and determined she's going to present a positive attitude, and she did live that way. However, she never, when she got the diagnosis and then the second diagnosis that didn't have good news in it, I don't think she ever brought that out and actually live that fear and hatred and meanness and et cetera. She never presented it. And that is a part of her that she did not show. She did not show when she was hurt, when she was in pain, because she was there to keep everyone happy and to be kind. So I do believe that holding in, that affects, as I said, every cell of our body, because we're not being completely honest. We're not taking that out. And when we stuff it, I think it grows like a cancer.
Right. And it can literally come out in different various organs. I've seen patients of mine who stuffed their emotions in different ways. And I remember the first time I started to notice this pattern, it was with a woman who was, again, sort of stuffing her rage and indignation and just holding it in tense, and she ended up developing this interstitial cystitis, this bladder condition.
Oh, my. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then I think the next one was understanding a woman who wouldn't express her emotions. She stuffed them, and she had problems with uterine fibroids. And, you know, I'm not saying that everyone is out there causing their own illnesses. Certainly there are many factors at play. But I truly believe this link between our emotions and the chemistry in our bodies impacts us. And you say that your own beliefs, when you really started to examine yourself, you discovered that you were more like your second sister. So how did you get past that victimhood of feeling like, oh, the universe is out to get you, and all of the abuse and everything that happened in your life?
I think it was a natural process of actually getting my education in natural healing. It was learning that, and you do learn about healing on energetic levels and things like that. So I had my left brain over here going, there is a different option. But it took some time before my heart actually realized that, oh, Debbie, you know, God love her, my second sister, you know, we fought forever. And in that moment when it was like, you're doing the same thing, do not judge. I was judging her. And it was that moment in time when it was like, all my conditioning, we're so conditioned by society, parents, et cetera, to act and to hide and to present that perfect demeanor to everyone. Yep. And that is what creates this fear of actually facing what we feel inside. So that when that moment in time when I knew I was judging someone with something I had right within me, that was a pivotal moment of, This is not truth. This is not healing. And I carried that on, and I made drastic changes in everything that I was actually consciously thinking.
Uh-huh. But before
so
you
I was
got there...
Retraining,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But before you got there, you say that you were hospitalized over 12 times with
mm-hmm.
asthma. Now,
yeah.
That's a lot for an adult. I used to do pediatrics, so seeing a kid get hospitalized a lot, that's a lot. But, wow, 12 times?
Yes, it was a lot. And salmeterol, obviously, is the drug that they love to give IV
mm-hmm.
to help your breathing. And I started to become psychotic from it.
And
in
oh, God.
Hindsight, yeah, the last time was not a good time. So another gift, really, of learning was... did I take my pain, my grief, my anger of them dying, of my family, you know, birth family being gone, la, 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 and I turned it inside to me. And where is grief held in the body and my form of healing? Grief is held in the lungs.
Okay.
That's where grief is held. And so you have a direct connection to, holy crap, you know, you're not just trying to heal from the death of your sisters, you're healing from your entire life,
Wow.
And that is when the magnitude of what I was feeling started to make sense. And that's when the logical things of changing diet, you know, finding people to help me, seeing a counselor, la, 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 that... I started taking steps to actually get to the bottom of it authentically, not putting the Band-Aid on it.
Exactly. And you mentioned that there were things from your childhood that you also had not faced completely. And do you find that too played a part in your illness or in your overall sense of rage or victimhood?
Yes, the death of the two sisters opened the door to my whole life healing for all of everything. So, no, I never had faced my abuse. When you are abused, you must be silent. You must stay in the background, and you cannot be seen. You cannot be heard. You don't call attention to yourself. So,
right, that's the coping mechanism, you mean. One tries to hide and withdraw in other parts of life, even when you're older and the abuser or the abuse situation is gone. Is that what you mean?
Yes, yes. So I never had dealt with any of that because I had to present myself and stay silent and stay in the background
mm-hmm.
my whole life. And I'm talking until my 50s here. I'm talking until my 50s that I was still doing this. So the magnitude of the healing was not just from the sisters, it was from everything, my entire life. But the beauty at the end of it is incredible when you realize that you have a choice in how you feel and reflect about all of it. So I choose,
right.
to, choose to look at it as being an education. It was given to me as a gift to learn that there is a different way. I did not lose my innocence by being abused. You can choose to, but you can still look at the entire universe as an incredibly beautiful with childhood wonder and excitement every day because it is a choice. And choosing, is to me, is being better than told what to do. I choose.
Right. But in your case, you said you had some help. So as you were looking at your past of being abused and, you know, losing one sister after another and being left effectively alone in the world or what could have felt like alone, as you're starting to face these hidden hurts and fear of being seen, how did you work through that process? I think our listeners would probably want help with that. I mean, we're talking about natural healing and tapping into our own ability to heal consciously, sometimes you need some support as you're going through it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, I was fortunate to find a very good counselor who helped me through the talk therapy part of it. I had self-limited myself a lot, knowing I had asthma, on actually getting outside or exercising. So I actually did start walking, being outside in nature, which is what fulfills me anyway. And it was so I used the exercise and walking out, getting on my bare feet, by the way. It wasn't with shoes. It was bare feet on the ground, so that I could tap into the healing energy that's in the earth and all around us. So that was extremely beneficial to me. I unfortunately was an individual at that point that did not believe in the fact that dehydration causes extreme issues in our body. I did start drinking more water, and that alone, because I was journaling during that time, was an amazing journey right there. Because as I hydrated, my anger started to reduce. And
isn't that
I now
amazing?
Know. Yeah. I know our brain takes 60% of our water. And when we are chronically dehydrated, I imagine on an emotional level and obviously a physical, neurological level, we're going to be deprived. So that was a big eye opener that, wow, water really makes a big difference.
Indeed.
So I used the water, I went the nutrition side as well. Vitamins, I had never actually taken vitamins at that point, so I was taking supplements, and I was extremely drained from many years of Solu-Medrol.
Yeah.
Compromised because of the cortisone a bit, so I went down, and my focus, I did not work for 2 years. My focus, after about the first 8 months, was on me in all aspects. So I had the intellectual challenge of school, doing some school, and you know, emotional support from people. I was getting the physical support that I needed. And I did the groundwork on trying to find out, what does Debbie like? What stirs her soul? What gives her strength? When I touched on that part, that I think is when my true healing really kicked in, because I found out that I am so compassionate. I want to give all this education. I would give it away for free if I didn't have to support myself and help everyone learn that we can all heal. We can all have a magnificent, pretty much a magnificent day every day.
Mm.
And when I found my passion of sharing all this information with people, that really helped. That was amazing.
Well, was that hard for you? I have so many people who say, oh, if I focus too much on myself, that's so self-indulgent, or, you know, it's selfish. I mean, who was that difficult for you to say, you know what, I just have to focus on me?
At that time, no. I was in so much crisis, and the anger was still a fairly big part of that it was an intuitive, instinctual knowing that I had to do this if I was not going to have a nervous breakdown, or whatever you want to call it, where you kind of collapse. I knew that. So it wasn't, there's a very, very big, strong, stubborn streak in me, and once that got tapped into, it was not hard to do that, and I had the support of my husband to be able to focus on that. So that wasn't hard. However, 10 years later, self-care is more of a problem than it was then.
Interesting.
Huh. Yeah, it's so.
Despite all that you know now.
Yes, it's because I believe that it's the excitement of doing what I do, learning more, opening up, finally allowing myself to be seen and heard about these stories and how others can be helped by these. I get so excited about it, I forget about self-care.
Wow. Well, I appreciate you sharing with my audience. And I want to go back to something. I know that you recommend to your clients and to everyone that they should literally get their bare feet on Mother Earth. And you say that that's a way to drain away some of the stress and the fear and the doubt and anger. Talk to me about how this practice of grounding helps to neutralize, you know, what's going on in our body and mind.
Mm-hmm. I learned that technique when I was, one of my healing modalities through my healing was Tai Chi, and I learned from an amazing instructor who was very grounded herself, let's just say. And mm-hmm. she taught that we needed to do that to get our feet on the ground. So we would actually have Tai Chi class outside on the ground. And it didn't take long to understand the difference between being in a classroom and doing Tai Chi and to being outside on the earth, barefooted, doing Tai Chi.
Mm-hmm.
The percent, I mean, I would say it goes up 150 to 200% on what you feel the energy and healing that's going on. So I asked her about that, and she spent, I don't know, probably a month teaching us about how to ground and how you, when you're stepping onto the ground, you're envisioning the things that you, that may not belong to you or the things that you just really want to release, just toss them into the ground and have them go right out your feet into Mother Earth and know they're being dissipated. She's going to take care of it. The other key to that is some of that that is going out of you, don't try to left brain it. Let it go.
Mm-hmm.
You just let it go. No need to know. That's my motto. Let it go.
I like
no need to mow. No. So there's so much subconscious junk in us, so much baggage there that we don't know, and it's easier to, and I think healthier, to let that go. And in reverse, when you've done that, you're standing there and you feel emptied of some crud, you can also swoop your hands down and pull up Mother Earth energy, put it way up over your head, and bring it down over slowly over your entire body so you can get the nourishment right back at the same time.
Yes. Excellent. Yeah, we do that with Qigong as well. And
yes.
Now that I'm here facing the Mediterranean Sea, I literally do that with my clients. I tell them to imagine that they're sending out with their breath or either through the bottom of their feet, they're sending out any of the negative energy, the toxic beliefs, any of the past hurts and drama out to Mother Earth, and it will be washed and cleansed and, you know, transformed into another form of energy. And then you can just take in with your breath, you take in that healing energy, and that's excellent.
And it's powerful, powerful. My energy, one of the energy teachers I had along the way suggested that there's a well in front of you. To envision a well, you could make it look how you want. And when you're in a circumstance where you get snap judgments or issues or anger or whatever, toss them in the well. Just immediately toss them in that well and let them go, knowing if you need to deal with it, it's going to come back out if it's something within you. If it isn't, just get rid of it.
Let it go.
Let it go. Let it go. No need to know.
You know, something else that you talk about in the book, and Heart to Heart, The Path to Wellness, you talk about, you know, this concept that scientists believe that our physical bodies are about 6 months behind real time. So what we see in our bodies now, and really in other parts of our life, is what you see right now is a result of the past thoughts, past action, past deeds. And you write about this concept that complete healing takes a minimum of 2 months for every year of acquiring an imbalance. Let's talk about that, because I think when some people get started on a new eating plan, or they're spending more time in nature, or they try Qigong or acupuncture or what have you, they're expecting or hoping for immediate results. And while some people may get more calmness and more peace, if they're going to see a change in a health condition that's been there for some years, it's going to take some time.
Yes. Yes. With my clients, my patients, when they come in, that's the first appointment is generally about the fact that this is not a Band-Aid approach. This is a let's fix it approach. And Band-Aids, as everyone knows, come off really quickly. But the long-term effect of doing it slowly with the body, working with it instead of forcing it, in my belief, it gives you more thorough healing. everyone has a story when they come into the office, and I can see a client for a year, and then they come in, and they're a mess. They feel like they have gone back 18 months. They've lost ground. You ask them to think about back 6 months, what happened 6 months ago, and it's pretty much 100% that I had a fight with my sister, or I had something happen, a traumatic, my aunt died, there's always an event that triggers a little bit of backsliding because of that cellular memory, because everything that's happened to us has been said to us, we've read, we've done, is in cellular memory. And when that kicks in 6 months later, when they're actually living it physically, it kicks back in and brings it back to the conscious level to where it can be dealt with.
So what are the processes that you use to help? I mean, you wrote about in this book that you believe we need to monitor the beliefs that are buried deep in both our spiritual structure and our subconscious mind by examining them with our mental and emotional filing cabinets, which I think is a great analogy. I look at our subconscious as kind of like, you know, a filing system that literally everything that happens to us is stored both in the cells of our body, but also in this vast mind of ours. So what are some of the techniques that you utilize to help people get rid of these emotional wounds and things that may have hurt us in our past? Maybe at the time we weren't old enough or mature enough to fully deal with it, so that as we're going through life, we can be more conscious.
I invite everyone that I see to, at a minimum, spend at least a half an hour with themselves every day, which is a learning process too, and to not do it in such a structured way that they have to do other than relaxing, meditating, et cetera, but to bring out, if something keeps coming to the conscious mind nagging you, it's something that needs to be looked at. And that's a great opportunity when this person keeps triggering me. This week, they've been triggering me every day about doing X, Y, Z. Because I believe in the mirroring effect, what irritates us is actually something that's in us. It gives us an opportunity to take a look at that, to pull that out, and lovingly just say and know that this is a buried, very old possible tape that I learned from someone as a child or whatever may not be applicable anymore, and to, again, discard it. You can get rid of it. You can go out on Mother Earth and give it to her. I believe in the power of ceremony and letting really big things go in a ceremony of some type, whether that be laying a leaf down on the ground and saying, hey, I'm going to let you blow into the wind. A actual physical identity to letting something go is important to a lot of people. And that is part of what you're asking about helping people realize that they can let these things go, but you have to let them go with complete love. When I see clients, I use flower essences in my practice because I've discovered with time that there is no way to completely heal the physical body unless you are helping them release and or heal the subconscious.
How do these flower essences work, you know, sort of within the body and the mind? How do they facilitate this process?
The flower essences are obviously from the flower only, and they're actually put in sun, in clean water, and the essence, the vibrational part of the flowers is in that water. So flower essences only work on the vibrational part of us, which we are vibrational in our subconscious mind. Herbs work on the physical part.
Mm-hmm.
So when you join the two together, so flower essences are going to work on, and this is a really hard concept for people to grab. When we talk about flower essences, they think they can tell me what their problem is in their brain. It is in their subconscious, and I have to remind them, it is subconscious. That is something that a practitioner can help. I use pulse testing because that is... It, it with Muscle testing, I think, is a little bit subjective. When you're checking the pulse of someone, as in acupuncture, et cetera, and someone's pulse changes when they put a flower essence in their hand, you know their subconscious needs it.
Mm-hmm.
So you're saving a lot of time by actually finding exactly what the subconscious needs. So that person, then I can let them know that you don't have to think about what these flower essences are doing. You're just going to let these flower essences release that. And that's what they did. I used them myself through my own healing. And it was a great benefit. And then further into my practice, I noticed that their physical part, you need to do them both at the same time. Because there's a physical component to everything.
Got it. Well, if someone were to take some of your advice and we are committing ourselves to drinking more water, hydrating, we're going to put our bare feet on Mother Earth and draw in new healing energy and let go of painful, stressful energy and the past. Is there one flower essence that would be sort of universal? I know we need to see a practitioner and get tested, but for someone who wants to really get rid of, you know, that sense of anger or victimhood when they feel like just the universe is against them and bad things just keep happening, is there any one particular essence that you could recommend that we could take to help us get energetically clear?
Absolutely. The Bach flower, the rescue remedy that Bach put together, there's five different flower essences in that. One of them addresses fears that are really deep set fears. It's a combination. White chestnut is about mental chatter. He combined that. It's a perfect scenario for not knowing what's going on and not needing or having time or the ability to go to a practitioner. And I highly would recommend that anyone do that at least twice a day, two drops in water twice a day directly from the Bach flower remedy, rescue remedy bottle. There are sprays out there now where people can actually spray that on their tongue as well. So that would be the best one to go with when you don't have a clue on what's going on, but you need some emotional and subconscious support, and it is very calming. A little tidbit here, you can always put one drop, just one single drop, on the paw of any critter if you need to calm them down, because it works great on animals as well.
Oh, I will keep that in mind for my little puppy.
Yeah, when they get a little too excited or whatever, it's a great remedy for them too. So that's what I would use as the Bach flower remedy.
Well, I wanted to circle back to something else that you said that I think is really, really key. You mentioned that no matter which ritual we use to let go of something, whether it's writing on a piece of paper and burning the paper, you know, symbolically taking a leaf and letting Mother Nature blow it away to blow away our pain or anger or frustration or whatever, you also say that we have to do this release in a state of non-judgment, compassion for ourselves. I would imagine you also would imagine compassion for the other people involved. Talk to me a bit about that, because I think when you write in the book about, you know, this, the greatest mystery is to solve ourselves and heal, and we don't see things as they are, we see them as we are. I feel like that sense of being in a state of self-compassion and non-judgment allows us to let kind of illness pass and go. It doesn't have to hold on and stick to us. Am I getting at the heart of what you mean by that?
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. When we believe or know who we, when we become who we truly are instead of what we're trying to present or been taught to be, and it takes work to get down to that level of finding out who you really, really are, and pain and tears and et cetera. But when you, whether you journal it or you have a knowing all of a sudden that, do you know what, I'm doing something employment-wise that is not me, and I am going to stop that because it is not me. Once you become that authentic, any ceremony, anything that you do or release, you can do it with pure love for self, for the entire, every individual on this planet, for the universe. You can do it purely out of love. I'll add to that that because of my abuse background, I love the heck out of my perpetrators now.
Wow. That's
deep. They are beings of their own. They're making their own choices. They have that right to do that. And I personally believe that they taught me, and maybe that's why I came in and asked for this, was to learn unconditional love and compassion and non-judgment.
Wow.
So I can say, those perpetrators, I forgive you. You know, I don't have any judgment on that anymore. Because everyone owns their own life, and you're making your own choices. And once an individual, I think that's the key of everything, once we figure out we choose how to be completely, it becomes easier. You can walk down the street and say, all right, the street person over here, is really scaring me and et cetera, and how in the heck did they get to that point? Yada, yada, the judgments we pass even on street people. You don't walk down the street. You walk down the street saying, wow, they're choosing their own path. They're doing what they need to do, and if there's anything I can do to help them, I will.
Mm. That's beautiful. I mean, being able to get to that point of realizing, hey, this life in the human body, in this human form, was a choice. And the lessons that I'm here to learn, that my soul is here to learn, are mine. And, you know, that's part of the free will. I get to choose how I'm going to react to it all. And I just think it's beautiful that once you get to that point of recognizing, this is mine, I choose it. I'm not saying that I love what happened in the past, but from this point forward, I'm choosing my responses.
Right, which is why I use a theory of healing kind of from the medicine wheel perspective, because most people, when they think of a medicine wheel and the crossbars and a circle, we always enter in on the east side, and it's where we come in with our spirituality, our soul. And people tend to think that you walk on the outside of the circle, so the north would be indicative of our intellect, and the west would be more of our physical body, but the south is our emotions, and the east is our spirituality, our soul. It's our job, per se, to seek out the people who can help us find balance in areas that we're out of balance. So when you present in a first class about the medicine wheel, about what would you do if you needed to find a physician and help a physical problem? And they will walk around the wheel, and they will go to the west, and this is where I would go. The concept that was missing on all of it, and it happens all the time, we are actually at where those crossbars are. We are in the medicine wheel. We are in the center.
Uh-huh.
Everything that we heal is our responsibility, completely. You seek someone to guide you, but you are, rather than going to a physician and having them fix a broken bone, that's one thing. If you're going to them to try and fix your broken heart, whether you're a physician or a natural healer, it's kind of the person's, you can give them the tools, but they have to be the one that does the healing. So we are always at the center of the wheel. We are always in control. We are the ones that make it happen. We just get guidance from others.
Mm-hmm. So Debbie, do you have a picture of that medicine wheel on your website or your blog anywhere?
I do. There is a blog on my business website, and it's further down in the post. I can put it up on the very first part about an article I wrote about healing from the medicine wheel, and I can tell
Excellent.
You the exact name of it.
Well, that would be helpful. You can just shoot it to me, and I will update this interview description with web links.
Okay.
Your website is already in the description, I believe, createdbynaturewellness.com. But I think that would be helpful for people to get a visual of another approach to healing that many of us talk about, because I think For those of us that are visual learners, and you could really get a feeling for, wow, this is where I stand in this process of healing.
Mm-hmm. Yes. The article is not real long, and it's fairly comprehensive. It's called The Secret of Healing Within the Medicine Wheel.
Beautiful.
And I will flip that to you.
Excellent. So we are coming up on the end of our time together, and it's been really beautiful just to hear you explain and expand upon what you've written in this lovely book, The Heart to Heart, The Path to Wellness. So, Debbie, what little words of wisdom would you leave for those of us who have been on this long and sometimes crooked path towards our own healing and wellness? What would be your words of wisdom, having yourself, you know, experienced abuse and then, you know, the tragic, I'm going to stop saying it was a tragic loss of both of your sisters, because you have been able to see the gift, and as you just pointed out, we all make our own choices as souls here. But what would be your recommendation to you know, people listening who are going through it?
An option that we have is to kind of redo the paradigm on how we view people in our lives. And it was something that was taught to me by an amazing individual, and I never, ever thought about it before, is the fact when you re-look at everybody in your life today, every single one of those people, you could be their teacher. You could be teaching them. You could be guiding them in ways that you have no idea that you are. We're always being observed. We're always being learned from. The thing not to forget is that every one of those people are teaching us.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone we meet is our teacher. We may help them too, but they're all our teachers. So everyone has something to say. Everyone has a voice. Since you're visual, et cetera, and a lot of people out there are, I would recommend reading this children's book. It's a very 18 pages, I believe, called The Little Soul and the Sun, written by Neil Donald Walsh. And it is just a little parable about, he wrote The Conversation with God.
Right.
And this tiny little story is saying that exact thing in a very eloquent way, that I need to remember the people who have hurt me, because if I don't, they go away. They lower their vibrancy to the level to teach me these lessons. And if I don't forgive or don't remember them, they don't get released, because they get pulled into that muck of a real low vibrational rate. So
wow.
It's not until we have it in our heart to release them that they can go back to who they truly are, which we are all highly vibrational and highly wonderful. And that was a key thing in my life, and I think it's for every person who walks this earth just to know they're not alone. We're in this together, and everyone's teaching me, and I'm learning from every one of you.
Wow. That is deep, and it's beautiful, you know? It's beautiful. People often talk about forgiveness as being a gift. And when you put it in those terms, that we are all perfect, whole, and complete on a soul level, you know, or our pure Buddha nature. You know, when you strip everything away, we are perfect and whole as soul beings. And to look at it that way, that, you know, in this lifetime, those perpetrators lowered their vibration so that they could take part in teaching a certain lesson. That's a profound shift. And so by forgiving them, you are giving them a gift of letting them go back to being a higher being, so they don't continue to live out lower, what we might consider lower behaviors. That's beautiful. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah. I think we are all thinking in our head. That's who we think we are, is every thought we are think, and that's not truly who we are at all. Our thoughts are not us. We're much, much more than that.
Yes. Wow. Beautiful. So where can people find you on the web?
My professional website is www.createdbynaturewellness.com, spelled out. And I do have an author site out there as well. A little bit of overlap, not too much, and that is can be found at www.DEngelmann.author.com. And they can also contact me, obviously. The phone number contacts are on my professional website.
And so you are in practice in Minnesota, in the United States, and of course you are sharing your wisdom and your gifts of insight on the web in your blog and through this new book, Heart to Heart, The Path to Wellness. Anything else that we should know to better connect with you or better connect with our own divine nature for healing?
My theory is ask for help, and it always comes to you anyway, but there's everything. My website is very comprehensive on contacting me or learning more. I put a great deal of information, recipes, detox information, et cetera, is on that website. So this is a standalone go-to site practically too. So I put out everything that I think can help other people that they can go to a website to get the information. It's not just about coming to see me.
Excellent. Well, I appreciate that. I appreciate that you're helping to empower people to just get this knowledge and then to live it. So
yes.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Debbie. This has been a real pleasure and a treat. So I invite everyone to visit createdbynaturewellness.com and connect with Debbie and the information. And, of course, buy the book, Heart to Heart, The Path to Wellness, featuring Debbie's story along with mine and many others, so that you, too, can see that you're not alone and you have the ability to heal and be whole and happy. Debbie, thank you again for being here. I so appreciate it, and I send you much love and support.
Thank you so much, too, Andrea. It was wonderful, and to everyone out there, there is hope, no matter what.
That's right. Don't give up. All right, well, until next time, take good care.
For more practical insights on living with ageless vitality, visit me online at agelessvitality.tv.